Hey everyone, we're back with another episode of Sneedcast. I'm Alexa, I'm your host today, and I'm here with Ken, our VP of Marketing and Sales, and we also have Q in the studio. Today, we're going to be talking about the importance of SEO for small businesses or startup businesses just like our own. So, I'll let Ken get us started.
Yeah, we'll kind of dive right in. So, a little bit of a change for our Sneedcast audience, maybe. This is going to be our first, I think, audio-only episode, but we're trying to make our do some more informative type stuff, create some content for the audience out there. You know, Alexa, we talked about that can be of value for you guys is beyond just showing you what our products are. We believe there's a lot of similarities between our customers and ourselves. We have so many customers that are e-commerce businesses, that are homegrown companies, startups, you know, that started selling out of their garage, eBay or whatnot, and so. For me, I feel like there's a lot of stuff that, you know, that we do that maybe we could share with our audience that, you know, that maybe they can learn from. And that's kind of just in general, I'm going to tangent alert here, guys. But I've talked to you guys about this. We want to try doing that more with our episodes. So we're going to be having a lot more. Hopefully, we're going to strive to have more of you guys on, do more interviews with successful entrepreneurs such as yourself to, again, share information, no more product testings, and just should be a really, I think, great year for us on the Sneedcast as it continues to evolve. So, but beyond that, we'll get into the actual topic for today, right? So SEO for small business, particular e-commerce like ourselves, right, Alexa?
Yes.
Where to start with? So obviously SEO is important. I'm sure everybody out there has heard that and continues to hear it, especially if you're in the e-commerce business. But where do you start? Are you even doing anything for SEO? Are you hiring somebody from the outside? It's a lot to think about. It's a lot to chew on, especially for a small company that has limited resources. So Alexa has been with us now for a year and a half, mm-hmm. almost 2 years. Yeah. Same with Quentin. You guys started with the same day.
Yeah.
Time flies. It's crazy.
It does. And then about 6 months in is when we got our first SEO audit, and we decided we're really going to kind of dive in on SEO from there. And I think that, Alexa, in my opinion, that's where you start is with an SEO audit, because that can – I think it's money well spent, because especially it tells you where you need to start.
Right.
You get to find a local firm or find somebody. There's a lot of them out there, a lot of great qualified agencies that can help with that, and you can source an SEO audit. Of course, they're always going to try to market their services because they want to help their business, of course, and they want to help you with your SEO, but sometimes that's out of the realm of your budget, right? So then what can you do on your own? All right, I don't want to hog the mic here, Alexa. Feel free to just jump in at any point.
No, I mean,
I'm just kind of rambling a little bit.
I'll jump in. It's like, I guess from like a layman's perspective, like SEO, like what are we talking about whenever we get into that, you know?
Okay, so whenever we're talking about SEO, we're talking about search engine optimization, scary words, or at least they sound scary. So the way that I like to look at SEO is it's a business's way of bringing more visibility to their business, especially on the web, like on Google. You have so many businesses that you're competing with, and maybe someone's been around a lot longer than you have. For us, since we work within the manufacturing industry, there's definitely other printing companies out there that have been around a lot longer. So when it came time to do like our SEO audit, there is definitely a lot of information to analyze. So everything from like SERP titles, and when we're talking about SERP, we're talking about search engine result pages. So again, those blue links that come up whenever you search for specific terms. We're also talking about meta descriptions. So the text that's right below those blue links that allow you to take advantage of like all of your keywords or all of your key topics that you're going to be talking about. You're also talking about like what are they called? Your URL slugs. So it's another valuable, I guess, retail space when you're talking about SEO, but there's definitely tons of available space in which you can take advantage to make sure that you're bringing as much visibility to your business as possible. So again, whenever someone were to search like printers or coders, when we take advantage of those spaces, within Google or within our actual site, we bring more visibility to our business. So I know I'm rambling at this point, but it's just getting all of my thoughts together on it.
Well, absolutely. I think kind of what you're made me think of, like, at the end of the day, Google, I know Google dominates. It's like 90% of search out there. So I know Bing is out there as well. But in general, Google is our modern day Yellow Pages. And I know I'm dating myself here with you young people in the studio.
What's that? What's the Yellow
Pages? Oh, Yellow Pages. Yeah, these were phone books that we used to have back in the day. And you'd look up businesses in there. And you weren't able to look up by keywords. It was just alphabetical. But nonetheless, you know, with search, that's what it's become is this generation's Yellow Pages. And at the end of the day, you're growing an e-commerce business, you want to be able to, it's just like, you know, more brick and mortar, you need to get traffic, you need to get people in the door to be able to sell them products. And so SEO, there's two ways to do it, right? There's the search engine optimization, or it's frequently we refer to as organic search. And then, of course, there's paid search. A lot of folks these days are aware of that those top search results in Google are paid ads. That certainly is a part that a lot of times, you know, it's a symbiotic relationship. If you're able to have the budget to do both, you run them side by side. That's the ultimate benefit. But depending on your industry, who your competitors are, you know, ads can get pricey. The pay-per-click route and everything else, that may not be within the realm of your company's budget. You know, many studies out there, Alex, I'm sure you've seen them, and Quentin too, point to that in terms of in advertising investment, marketing investment for business, investing in organic search and SEO and optimizing your website is some of the best money, dollar for dollar, you're going to get back for your business. So, you know, whatever you can do to try to improve those search results, and it's an ongoing battle, right? Google changes constantly. There's it's always trying to improve, just like the rest of us with our companies and our products. We always want to strive to have the best. Well, Google is always trying to get and be better and better and better. Sometimes we may disagree with what they think is better, but yeah, we're kind of at Google's whim there. So, but yeah, again, that's kind of, we certainly touched on a lot of different, we'll get into some of those things you mentioned there, Alexa, in terms of what they are and why they're important. So kind of where to start, right? We talked about if, you know, where do I get my, I don't know where to start, get that SEO audit, get an expert in there, teach them a little bit about your business so they can tell you, they'll run an audit on your website, where its flaws are, and then they can point out some low-hanging fruit for you. One of the things that's always going to be at the, even with some of the new shifts, right, Alexa, now we just watched that webinar on Google and generative experience search, but keywords at the end of the day are always going to be important. You should, nobody's going to know the keywords that are important to your business and your industry better than you are, and what your customers are looking for. So, let's talk about that keywords there, Alexa. In terms of how do you go about? Of course, you can come up with your list of keywords, brainstorm them amongst your team, and then you have to figure out which keywords you're going to target. What tools are there out there in terms of like keyword research and whatnot that we can kind of recommend to folks?
Okay, so the top two that come to mind right off the bat, one of which we use heavily here and it has become my best friend, SEMrush. SEMrush is such a helper. You can literally plug in your competitors' domains and it'll pop up a list of keywords that they're currently ranking for. You could also do it the old school way. You can kind of go through their site and nitpick or make your own list based off of what terms are coming up heavily. So again, SEMrush is definitely one of the big ones. Ubersuggest is another one that I know I've used previously. I'm not sure if you've used it, Ken. Definitely helpful whenever you're conducting searches. Ubersuggest, the extension at least, will pop up keywords or relevant information on that site before you even click onto it.
And then from there, you can see a good, that's an easy, if you're not sure which keywords you're looking for, what to target, go see what your competitors are targeting. What are they, like, if your competitors are showing up at the top of search, you know, Alexa, you've done a little bit of this lately, go, well, what are they doing right? Yeah. You know, they're doing something right to get to the top of their search, and they can help you kind of narrow down which keywords you need to be looking at. There's another great tool within Google. It has its own tool. Google will provide you analytics on search volume. So if you have an idea for the keywords that you want to target, you can look up those there, and then from there determine your strategy of how to prioritize. Now you talked, there was an acronym you dropped there that some people might have missed or was might have confused a few people, SERP, right? SERP. And that is, what was it?
Search. So it's search engine result pages. So it'll be whenever you search a term, say like a keyword, or whenever you have a question, whenever you type that into Google, that first page or those pages will then pop up results that are the most tailored to the question that you're asking or most tailored to the keywords that you're searching for. So again, it's just those titles that pop up, those blue titles.
Right. And then yes. that's part, big part of what Google is using yes. to understand what you're trying to, what your information you're providing and what the customers are looking for, or searchers, or I guess the people are searching for. So there's it's twofold, right? Which I love with SEO is always like, are you writing, I've heard this debate many times, should you write to the machine? Are you writing to Google? Are you writing to the audience? Are you writing to human beings? I have my opinion on this. I don't know what your thoughts are on that matter, Alexa.
So this is such this is a really hard one for me, because obviously you want to rank well on Google. Like, there's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. But at the same time, it's like you're writing to human beings. Like, at the end of the day, the people that are helping to drive traffic to your website, like, those are the people that you're targeting.
Right.
So you obviously want to get their attention, but you also want to get the search engine's attention. So it's just finding that happy middle ground, to be honest.
No, absolutely. That is exactly, you know, because it's exactly right. You got to get the readers, but if you write something that gets you at the top of Google, but then somebody opens it up and it just isn't relevant to what they're looking for, or just doesn't read right. You'll lose them, and then your engagement rates and your bounce rates are affected, and ultimately your conversions. But I know, like, that's some fairly, you know, we talk about SERPs and those listings, those, especially within e-commerce, that's fairly something that is what I would consider, Alexa, you can agree or disagree with me, or what mm-hmm. low-hanging fruit. If you don't know where to start, that's something where you can go in there and fine-tune. Once you've identified what keywords you want to target, and then make sure that those are set up, right? So that includes... There's what, three components within that? The title,
your meta description, and then after your meta description, there's also your actual, okay, so on my end, the key pieces of information that I tailor before I even publish anything. So it'll be your actual title, it'll be your meta description, and then it'll also be your URL, just because you can also tailor that. End portion of it, which is considered your URL slug.
That was the one you mentioned earlier too. Some good terminology.
Yes.
We're dropping here. Yep, absolutely. And I know that we were just talking about this when we were prepping for the call. Like, we're gonna call. Wow, our that's podcast. My sales hack. Sorry. Sometimes I also take sales calls. So things to avoid. Right. So what you were talking about, some things, you know, that, you know, we can easily mention to people that may seem like, oh, I'll just do this. This is really easy. But it's actually going to have a negative effect on your efforts.
Yes. So when SEO was first coming into, I guess, its own space, or when SEO, like the very beginning of SEO, let's just call it that, people would have the tendency to keyword stuff. Which is essentially you're taking a keyword that you really want to rank for, and you're just stuffing it in as many places on your site or on that page that you can possibly, you know, fit in. The reason why we don't want to do that at this point is because the search engine won't realize what it is that you're doing that, and then it doesn't look good. Like, your readers don't want to read printers or coders like 100 times on the same page. That's not the purpose of keywords. You use them as much as you have to, but you don't want to overdo it, because then you run the risk of, like, okay, Google's going to flag that page as...
Yeah. Google's gotten... it's gotten smarter and smarter, the machine has. And it's... You know, you mentioned that about the early days of SEO, and we'll get to kind of summarize this at the end, but one person I've started following since the HubSpot conference I went to last year is a gentleman by the name of Dale Bertrand. You can follow him on LinkedIn. He's got a lot of great insights, but he talks a lot about, gosh darn, I just lost my train of thought there for a second. What was the second you said right before that? You were talking about the...
keyword stuffing.
Keyword stuff. No, yeah, yes. He mentioned he's been working on SEO for 20 plus years, and that was part of his presentation was, the early days. He breaks it down. There are different epochs within search engine optimization as Google evolves and as search evolves, which actually bringing him up leads me to my next one is kind of also like, how do you know what you're doing is working? Right. Because you got to know, like, you got to have measurable results. So what are you looking for? Are you looking for foot traffic? Are you looking for revenue? What are, you know, for traditionally, everybody is always like, am I getting traffic?
Mm-hmm.
But is that really the ultimate goal? Is it traffic? Do you want people coming in your store and then leaving? Or do you want them coming in your store and buying, right? So
the good old traffic and conversion debate.
Yep, exactly. Oh boy. And that's one thing that, you know, Mr. Bertrand talks a lot about is that your SEO should be focused about SEO for revenue.
Mm-hmm.
And ultimately, and I was actually, multiple people had this debate at the HubSpot conference too. They had a nice one, but it was, you know, conversions of traffic. Well, you got to have the traffic first to get the conversions, for one.
Right.
So there's a little bit of a check in the egg there. I think both of them are important because you do have to get up there and rank in order to get the traffic to get to the conversions. But I think that's where it ties back into what we were saying. This is, I think it's very closely related to, like, are you writing to the machine or are you writing to the human? Because you got to write to the machine to get the traffic, but you got to write to the human to get the conversion. Right, so that's where your hybrid, you got to make sure you're kind of hitting on both sides of that. I don't know if there's anything you wanted to add in there, Alexa.
No, I think you definitely summed it up. Like, there's no better way to put it. You definitely, in order to get traffic, you know, there's obviously that human side. But again, like, you also want to rank on Google, so you have to also write for the machine. So it's just finding that happy middle ground again.
Yep. And then again, then from there, we can talk a little bit about, like, well, how do you talk to that machine? The machine's constantly changing. I mentioned this at the beginning, at the start here, new phrase. There's always new phrases and terminology coming out, but the new one is SGE, or Search Generative Experience. We just talked about Google is getting smarter and smarter, and with the advent of AI and the evolution and everything, Google's obviously implementing that as well. So it's really starting to get better and better at starting to analyze search intent, as opposed to just somebody searching a certain word. They're searching strawberry jam. Are they looking for nutritional facts about strawberry jam? Are they looking for where to buy strawberry jam? These types of things. And that's where long tail keywords start to come in, which I know Neil Patel was a big focus for him, was saying that long tail keywords are going to be more and more important, as opposed to just searching strawberry jam. I know I do this with Google. I know Quentin and Alexa, when I go search on Google, I start writing questions now. We've got, Google's trained us. I don't know, like, I'm going to date myself. Early days of Google, you would just search like a word or two because the system wasn't that good. Now you go in there, you write a question, you'll get a series of answers from Google.
Yeah, I think it's also too, like, as a searcher, like, knowing how to Google stuff is like a big skill.
That's true.
And I don't, like, I guess, like, you guys know way more than me about that. So how does SEO work with that? Because I know that if I'm looking for a certain thing, but I don't know exactly what website to go to, I know how to phrase it to eventually find what I want. So how does SEO work with that? Is it, like, trying to, like, predict what those folks are going to try to do, or how does that work?
So the way that SEO works is your search engine is going to go through your actual website, and it'll then crawl, so to say, your website. So it'll match your question with information that's currently on there. So I don't know if you've recently searched anything on Google, but we've been getting a lot of the snippets lately where it's like you'll search a question and like three or four of the most popular sites will pop out in like the drop downs. So again, it's just crawling those sites and pulling the information the most closely matches what it is that you're looking for. So if you analyze some websites now, they're starting to phrase it, or they're starting to phrase information like how to's, what ifs, like they'll phrase it as a question as opposed to just dumping out a bunch of information onto a page, if that makes sense. Like you're now starting to categorize it as questions. Like you're starting to categorize it as if you were the user searching for that information.
I guess too is like, is that where the confluence of speaking to the machine versus speaking to the human comes in? Because I know recently, like today is the day after Valentine's Day.
Right.
Whenever I went to go order flowers, I just looked up Valentine's Day flowers and also shipping because I wanted it sent there. And so I knew that that's all I needed, and it just popped it right up.
Right.
Compared to, like, if I was trying to look for something like best floors for local delivery that's using the best type of flowers. Like I feel like there's, like a marked difference between those two. You know what I mean? Of, like, I'm trying to find something more natural versus I just need to know where I need to click to buy these flowers.
So the way that I've seen it as of now, it's not just the questions that users are searching for, but I also know that like with certain days or certain holidays, like you also have trends that pop up on Google. So I know for my page specifically, like I'll get trends, or I'll get like a section for trends of what's currently hot topics on okay. Google, if that makes sense. Ken, do you have anything to add on
that? Well, so like ultimately, like it kind of, I mean, I think it relates a little bit, you know, like when you think about Google, ultimately what Google's trying to do, Google's mission is to provide the best possible answer to the search query that it's giving. And that's what they're constantly trying to do. They're trying to, that's their goal and their objective is for their customer is the searcher. And they want to give them the best possible experience. And so that's why when it's doing its best, what you were mentioning, Quentin, and so we talked about earlier, search intent. It's based on what you're searching. It's trying to delineate what is your intention for what you're looking for and give okay. you the best possible answer there. And that's where in the past, you know, EAT has come up, authority, gosh, now it's just blanking. The authority, Alexa, help me out.
Oh, here. Expertise, authority. It's EAT.
T is, there's a T at the end, but they've added an E now. Another on top of expertise is now experience.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what I wanted to hint at too, is you just hit on it is the way you're not just writing very dry information. You're writing it to, you know, you said how to's, that's right. expertise, instructional stuff. But with experience now, it's not about how to, but how I,
right.
How did I experience the product, or how did I experience whatever. And that's also where, with the advent of AI and the increase in AI, that's where you can start to delineate. The machine will be able to tell if you're writing from a narrative perspective or a how I perspective, it comes across as more authentic. And, yeah. and that's what Google's using as part of its evaluation, because it's ultimately looking to get those top three or four answers. You know, mm-hmm. you get those questions, common questions. That's Google's basically guess, you know, based on what it's searching, that are the best possible answers to what your search intent was when you punched
yeah,
that in.
That's true. Yeah.
And another thing that Google has, that it's got a little bit of cheat code, because it also tracks your behaviors.
Yeah.
So I don't know if this is confirmed or not, but I have a strong feeling that the machine is using those details it knows about you to also influence what search results it's going to give you, and for it to be able to determine what your search intent was.
According to SEM Rush, it is EEAT, experience, expertise, authoritativeness, and trustworthiness.
Trustworthiness, that was the T I was okay. missing, yeah. So, and those are big ones you can build out. So, like, some of that comes, we'll not get too deep into that. We missed a little bit about blogging, because blogging is a way that, again, you got to have the time to be able to write the blogs. Yeah. Alexa, you know that all too well. If you got to write emails, and you got to write a social media calendar, and you got to
blogs
and product listings. So it's a matter of what your bandwidth is and what you're capable of doing. They do have now, you know, tools out there with AI that can help you with your marketing too. So there's definitely some different tools to look into there. One takeaway from it on that, based on some things that we've seen, you and I, Alexa, was that AI is not here to take over Alexa's job. So, Alexa, you're safe. We're not going to replace you with AI. And part of that reason is that it's not good enough yet. It's still not as good as having a human writer. Yes, it can write faster, but it's missing something there. It's not still, there's missing the human element, which, you know, may come further down the road. But it can help augment your human, you know, bandwidth, right? So with a tool which we've just invested in here, then Alexa will better be able to use that to help with ideation and creativity, and then also she can go in there and put her human touch on it.
Right. So going back to the whole AI statement, I know that a lot of copywriters or a lot of marketers stress in general whenever AI comes into the question, just because they're like, they automatically jump the gun and assume that they're getting replaced. Like you said, AI doesn't have the ability to add human touch yet. And then something that Neil Patel added yesterday in his conference was that it doesn't have the ability to pull quotes, stats, and it's not up to date as it should be just yet. There's only so much that it can analyze. So again, I'm not stressing. I know that it's definitely a tool that I'm viewing as more of like it's a good friend, but I know it's not going to replace me anytime soon. And then again, the more familiarized you are with said tool, like the better off your writing is going to be, the better off the content you're producing is going to be. So it's just something for marketers or for copywriters to keep in mind. Like, view it as a tool, view it as like a resource. It's only going to help your content get a lot better.
Yep, I agree, and that's no, absolutely. So I think we've kind of touched on everything. One other last thing too is a kind of very general just conversation here, but another thing is diversifying your outreach. So there are things that you can do that aren't necessarily optimizing your website, you know, SERP and all these other things, because Google pays attention to you outside of your website, right? So whatever you're doing on social media, linking back to your website, and making sure that those are connected properly. Google pays attention that if to what you're doing on social media and how it affects your website. YouTube, Quentin's our YouTube guy here. So that is, YouTube is the second most used, if not most used, behind Google is the number one, the second most right search platform behind Google is YouTube.
And I mean, Google owns YouTube too. So like,
good for Google.
Yeah, Google's really just running the world. But yeah, I mean, YouTube SEO, it's still developing, but a lot of it has to do with your key on my words. They use tags. It's the same idea. And it's just baked in. And a lot of that is on, you know, like metadata. So what you bake in, and then also like thumbnail. So like the actual cover art is huge. And YouTube is very harsh with that stuff. If you mess up once, you're going to pay. Don't be afraid of it, but just look up whatever you need to. And, you know, SEMrush has a ton of help on that. HubSpot has a ton of help on that. And then also there are so many training spots where you can learn about it. And it's not scary, and it'll make sense, I promise.
Yeah, and YouTube's a fun avenue. You might think, like, I make strawberry jelly. Why would I make a YouTube channel? We got some, I mean, or anything. I mean, I see so many businesses now that are making a mark on social media and building a brand and a following by sharing their story about, man, how did I start making this strawberry jelly? Let's talk about grandma and where it came from and our whole journey and process. One of my favorites is Midday Squares out of Canada. They have such a great presence in terms of sharing all their ups and downs of where they got to in 5 years. It's incredible. So.
Yeah, I mean, if you think someone won't care about what you do, I guarantee you that's wrong. I mean, we have like a TikTok right now, and people watch that who just like seeing like factories work. So like printers and all that stuff, like people will just watch it and they aren't in our industry, but they watch our stuff, and that's just because it's fascinating, kind of like how it's made, like
that old ASMR type
kind of. Yeah, exactly.
Avenue too. So.
So there is a world for your content, we swear.
So just to kind of put a bow on everything, like, don't be afraid of SEO. You know, doing something is better than doing nothing. There's definitely some easy low hanging fruit that you can touch on. Some tools that we mentioned that are definitely you want to look into or try is Uber Suggest. SEMrush, and then Google has a lot of tools within their platform, Google Analytics, GA4, the Google Search Console. Familiarize yourself with those. There's plenty of YouTube videos out there. If you're not, when I first got into Google Analytics and looked around, it was like a maze. And not only a maze, it was a maze with instructions written in hieroglyphics. But just, you can't break it. Go poke around and go look up a video on YouTube, and you'd be surprised how quickly you'll pick up on it. For myself, some influencers to follow: Neil Patel. Go sign up for his newsletter. He does periodic webinars and different things that are of no charge. Lots of information to pick up on there. You just have to put up with some promotions. He's running a business too. No harm there, but there's going to be some of that in there too. Neil Patel, like I said, Dale Bertrand, who's a new one for me. I don't know if there's any that you have in mind, Alexa, or tools that I missed, or even SEO people that you follow or anything.
So aside from Neil Patel, one of my favorites is Alex Catoni. She's a big copywriter out in the industry, but she also focuses on a lot of SEO practices. Strongly recommend her. You're going to find success when you're out of your comfort zone, so don't be afraid to look up SEO practices on YouTube. You're definitely going to find a lot. That's how I got started. So YouTube was definitely a big help. If you have access to HubSpot, HubSpot's also a great resource to have, especially if you're new to the world of marketing or SEO. But definitely don't be afraid to like just Google it, YouTube it. There's help everywhere.
Hub is on HubSpot. HubSpot has a lot. It's a great CRM platform in general for marketing and for your sales. It's a freemium based model, so you start off with a real basic platform that you can use, and then as you grow and scale, you know, you can add on things and start paying for an expanded version. But within that, not to plug HubSpot, we haven't said their name enough in this
we're expecting podcast. A sponsorship very soon. So,
but you know, you mentioned like they, if you talk about in terms of educational content or where to learn, I mean there's so much they have. They do, their HubSpot Academy is phenomenal in terms of the different types of things you can learn on there and the type of marketing advice that they share. So that's definitely a tool to look into as well. One last one too is just because I enjoyed, they're really, the firm that did our SEO audit, they have a really good podcast too, which is called the Best Damn SEO Podcast. So that's a good one to check out and listen to. They do 30-minute episodes on different topics as it relates to SEO.
That's also a good title for SEO if you're looking up the best SEO podcast. Yeah. There you go.
I think that might have been intentional. Who knows? I'll leave this, and then I like to ramble and get on my tangents, but I found this, I thought, whatever it means, but an interesting fact is that 15% of searches on Google every day have never been searched before.
That's unbelievable.
Isn't that crazy?
That's crazy.
That there's still like every 15%. Just think about all the times people go on Google. Well, 15% of all those searches is something that nobody's ever had the thought to search before.
It's crazy.
It's hard to believe because you would have thought that by this point everyone or everything would have been searched.
Like, well, I kind of feel that way about music sometimes. I'm like, imagine, like, how do people keep coming with new music? Like, it's the same notes over. Yeah. Like, how?
Yeah. Anyway,
we're getting, and then someone does something crazy. Yeah. What?
All right, well, that's it for now. We are going to continue the next episode. We're going to record here is going to be on date coding and the history of date coding, where it came from, where it is, where it's going, and because that, we know, affects a lot of you folks out there, obviously. And Alexa, I'll let you do what you do best and do the outro.
Well, guys, stay tuned for the next episode of Sneedcast. And like always, make sure to like, comment, subscribe, and hit that notification button down below to stay up to date with all of our great content. We look forward to seeing you on the next episode. Bye, everyone.